Do we have a special word for all of you today? Look at this title, Sending an Angel to Chase Your Unsaved Family Members. I want to tell you something. I had preached for probably 35 years. Let's say 30 years, conservatively. And I had never looked at this verse in the Bible that I'm going to show you in a few moments and viewed it the way I was seeing it at that particular moment. It changed my understanding of that verse. It brought a revelation that I've got to share with you. So stay with me all through the program. And don't forget, watch what I'm going to show you after I get through teaching, okay? Sending an angel to chase your unsaved family members. Here's what Psalms chapter 35, verse 5 says. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Look at that. Now, let's talk for a moment about angels, and one of the key elements that you've got to understand or have to understand about why angels are assigned to people who have a covenant with God. When I say a covenant with God, we're talking about the redemptive covenant that is provided through the Lord Jesus Christ when you receive Him as Lord and Savior, and He forgives you of your sins, and you begin to follow Him. You enter in what's called the new covenant, and it is a covenant of redemption, salvation covenant. Now listen to what the Bible says, Psalms 103, verse 20. Angels who do God's commandments and hearkening to the voice of His word. Angels hearken to the voice of God's word. God's word is His covenant. We call it in our Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. Some would translate it Old Covenant, New Covenant. I like to say First Covenant, which is the Old Testament, and the Second Covenant, the Renewed Covenant, the New Covenant, which is found in the New Testament. So the Bible is the voice of God's Word. And through the Word of God that we speak, and by operating in a relationship with God, we are able to tap into the ability that God has permitted the angels to have to minister to us and to our family and to assist us in protection, direction, and sometimes even in our conscience and hearing the voice of the Lord directing us. Now, let me talk for a moment about angels and the unsaved. Now, who are the unsaved? If you have never entered into with your mouth and with your heart a covenant relationship with God, then you do not have a covenant relationship with the Lord. You may know there's a God, you may believe there's a God, but the Bible says this, you believe there's one God, you do well, the devils also believe and tremble. So just believing in God doesn't bring you into a covenant. Here's what the Bible said in Romans 10:10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and that means believe in Christ, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So it's a process of your heart, your mind and your mouth coming into agreement. And to repent means to turn your direction that in a point to where God allows you and helps you to change your behavior. Real repentance changes a person to the point that if any person is in Christ, if they're in that covenant, they're a new creation. Old things pass away. All things, the Bible says, become new. So if a person has never asked Christ to come into their heart and life, they do not have a covenant relationship. Now, they may go to a church occasionally and go through certain religious rituals. They may even bow their head in honoring God with prayer. But there again, if we look at the New Testament, the Pharisees knew the law, followed the law, had the phylacteries, prayed during the day, fasted 2 days a week. And Jesus said, you're complete hypocrites because everything is a ritual and not a relationship. A covenant is a personal relationship with the Lord. Now, you will discover that anyone who comes against the covenant, God can send an angel to bring destruction to them. It's true. In the Bible, there were four different Herods mentioned. The Herod that killed the infants of Bethlehem, the Herod that Jesus stood before, the Herod of Acts chapter 12 that beheaded James, and the Herod later in the book of Acts, that Herod Agrippa II, that Paul stood in front of, and this Herod said, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. Now, two of the Herods died very, very horrible deaths. Actually, three of them died very strange death. One of them died in Jericho, with a kidney disease and with worms eating his body and with gangrene. The Herod of Acts chapter 12 died with worms eating his intestines up. And when the angel of God struck him, the Bible says the angel of God struck him to bring a death judgment on him. He died within 5 days. And so when you look at this, oh my goodness, when you look at this, the Bible is very clear that angels of God will do this. But let me just show you something here. There is a verse in Hebrews chapter 1, 13 through 14 that indicates to us that angels will chase down or go after sinners. And I'm going to show you that in a moment. Now, here's the problems that we have. First of all, there's no doubt in my mind that every one of you, whether you're watching this on the internet or whether you're watching it on by television station, you know, pardon me, please. You know that trying to get an unsaved family member to follow the Lord can be very, very difficult. First of all, they ignore your advice. They ignore your warnings. They pay no attention to Bible teaching. They refuse to go to church. They don't want to listen to preachers preach. If they feel conviction of the Spirit, they want to override that conviction. But now I want you to put that scripture up on the screen right now and let's look at this. The Bible says this, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits? These are angels sent forth to minister for them who shall be, not are, but shall be, future tense, heirs of salvation. Now, this is an absolute amazing scripture. Now, let me read another translation. Besides to which the angels, has he ever said, sit at my right hand, associate with me in my royal dignity till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants sent out to the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? That's the Amplified translation. Folks, I read this for years and I always taught it that the angels are sent out to minister to the saints. It is written, I've checked this with every translation, I've looked at this very carefully, it is written, angels are sent out to get those who are to inherit salvation but have not yet inherited it. Wow. Now, how can an angel minister to a sinner? I'm going to tell you how angels have through the centuries ministered to sinners. By saving their life from a premature death through a car accident, premature death through a plane accident, premature death in the time of war, by protecting them from danger, hunting accidents perhaps, being out in the woods, falling, tripping, falling down a ledge, and it not killing them. Angels minister to them by bringing an atmosphere of conviction of sin that will convict them, allowing them the opportunity to repent. There have also been situations where angels have appeared in a vision or a dream and given a person a warning, and it shook them up so deeply that they ended up turning to God and repenting because they knew, they absolutely knew, that they were in trouble if they didn't. Now, I want to tell you a very interesting story. Many years ago, when my son, before he was married, my son had some very serious addiction problems. And of course, my wife, Pam, and I were absolutely concerned about him because we knew that he literally was putting himself in very, very serious danger. Without going into detail, one night we had to rush to the emergency room at the local hospital and rush in there and get him hooked up to a doctor because of the number of pills he had taken, and his heart rate was almost out of control. And the doctor did tell me, he didn't say it in front of my son, but when we walked out, he knew me. He attended one of the local churches in town. He said, Reverend Stone, he said, we've lost 18 young people in town doing what your son has done. I said, what do you mean you've lost them? They've died. He said, they've died. And he said, I can count 18. And so I'm going to be honest. I knew that I had to battle for my son. And we prayed and we rebuked. And here's what we did, though. We fought under the covenant. We began to tell the Lord of the covenant we had had. We had taken care of the poor and the needy. And the Bible says, he that pities the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him in his day of adversity. And I began to call on God to send an angel of protection. I did every prayer I know to pray. I mean, every prayer. And miraculously, our son did survive and now is married. I got 3 grandbabies. They live near us, next door to us. And I'm just so proud of him. He works for the Ramp Omega Center International. It does a lot of the media, and he's the kid's a genius, really, and he's just so smart. I always say he's smart like his dad. Now, I got a right to say that because he's my son, okay? But I know that God protected my son from that danger, you know? Now, another story about a person that was not saved would be my father, Fred Stone. Let me tell the story. I'm going to take some time because you got to hear this. My dad had a half brother. He called him his brother because they just had a different father, because Morgan, who was his half brother, Morgan's dad was killed in a hunting accident, and his mother now remarried. Of course, that's when my dad was born later, through William Stone. So, but Morgan was converted to the Lord as a young man in a revival in West Virginia, and the revival went on 3.5 years in different churches in the Coalfield area. They call it the Great Coalfield Revival. And Morgan invited my father to church, and through a series of events, my father was converted to the Lord, later called to preach. So my father entered the ministry, but if Morgan had not invited him to church, then Dad may have never gone to church and been saved. So Morgan had been offended in a church, and I'm not going to go into the detail, but there's a lot of people that get offended at church and they quit going, and it's the biggest mistake you'll ever make. Don't quit going to church because of offense. Because when you stand before God, that person will answer for offending you. But if you don't go, you'll answer to God for following the offense. Don't let it happen. But he stayed out of church 40 years. My dad got a burden for Morgan. Dad was pastoring in Troutman, North Carolina church. And he was praying and he saw a vehicle. And he looked into the vehicle. He said it was on a road somewhere in the mountains of West Virginia. It was a vision now. It was not a dream. He went out and saw a full color vision. And a person had been decapitated, and the other person also was dead in the car. And he saw it in a flash, and it came back. He said, "Oh, my Lord, that's Morgan." He ran to the phone to try to call him. He couldn't get him in, so he knew he was out somewhere. And Morgan always used a person to drive for him when he drove. And Dad told Mom, "Don't bother me. I've got to go to church and pray." My dad prayed for 1 hour in great travail and agony, asking God to spare his half-brother from a premature death or from death. After 1 hour, my dad was very sensitive to hearing the voice of God. The Lord spoke to my dad, and here's what he said. He said, "You are asking me to protect one that does not have a covenant with me." And so Dad was thinking, "Oh my goodness, Morgan's going to die today because there's nothing to protect him." And then the Lord immediately said to him, "But because you have a covenant with me, I will send your angel." And the Lord said to my dad, "You know you have felt him and seen him at different times throughout your life, but that's your angel. I will send your angel to spare him." And so God commissioned that dad, commissioned the angel to go and protect Morgan. All right. Time went by, and about, I think, I'm going from memory, 3 to 3:30 in the afternoon, Dad finally got Morgan in on the phone. Dad said, "Morgan, don't say a word because I want to tell you something. Today, you were supposed to die in a car accident, and you may have actually been beheaded because there was 2 people in a vehicle, both killed, and a coal truck had hit you. That's what happened." And Morgan got quiet and he began to weep. He said to my dad, they called him Fred. He said, "Fred, how in the world did you know that?" He said, "We were driving across the mountain." He named the road. Dad knew where it was and said, "The people that live across the street from me, from where I live, the older couple, they were in a car behind us. And we pulled off. I wanted to go into this little tiny restaurant, get a Coca-Cola. We pulled off, and he said, I felt like I needed to stop. And I got in there, and I told my buddy, I said, "What did we stop for?" He said, "Well, you said you wanted a Coke." He said, "All right, I guess I'll get one." And that car, they pulled off, and that car went in front, and a coal truck hit them head on, decapitated the woman. I mean, I know this sounds gross, but it actually happened, and killed the husband who was driving. Morgan would have been in the driver's seat where the woman would have been, had they not pulled over. Now, Dad said he believes that the angel of God, that's how he did it. He spoke to Morgan in his conscience, in his mind, to pull over to protect him. And this is how God can send an angel to protect a family member. And oh my goodness, there's so many stories right now that I can tell that I'm thinking about. And I've got to tell you another one. And Brother Floyd Lahan, I'm going to tell this story based on how it's been told to me by the McDaniel family. But Floyd Lahan many years ago pastored, and I'm going to abbreviate this. I'm not going to give all the details, but he pastored in Bessemer, Alabama. And Floyd was very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But anyway, there was a man that came into the church, and the man happened to be a biker. He rode a bike, motorcycle, became the church, sat in the back. And Lahan came under a burden that someone needed to repent. And he kept calling out to that the person needed to repent. And he felt it was that young man in the back. And he said, I don't want to go into the detail, but he said, God's after you. You have to repent tonight. This is the night. There can't be another opportunity. This is the night. And the man went to get up and go through the door, and the door wouldn't open. And Lahan began to just scream out, this is the night for you to repent. And finally, the man rejected the call to repentance, and he opened the door. And when he did, he got on his motorbike, and that night was killed on his motorcycle. And so this is why it's important to be able to call on the name of the Lord. Now, McDaniel said to me that the church discussed that they believe an angel of God was blocking the door to keep that man from going out the door, but he overrode it. Years ago, when we were, let me stay on the subject. I'm trying to tell all these stories. This is what I believe, though, that a child of God has the authority based on Hebrews to do. This is what I need you to do. If you have unsafe kids, unsafe family members, I want you to do this. I want you to do this after this program. Watch everything. I want to show you what I have to offer you. This is very significant, what I'm going to show you in a moment, especially the CD album. It's crazy. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen from the book of Revelation. But anyway, let me just go on. I want you to get a piece of paper, and I want you to write down the names of your family members. Now, I know you could probably make a list of your relatives, your in-laws, your outlaws, people in the church. I want specifically your kids and your family members that are in your bloodline. That's the point. They carry your blood. Now, you're born again. You have a covenant with the Lord. But what I want you to do is I want you to write their names large on a piece of paper. I want you to take that verse I just gave you from Hebrews chapter 1, and I want you to write at the top the Hebrews chapter 1 and write the verse, or you could handwrite it on paper, but put that verse somewhere at the top of the paper, put their names under it, and I want you, if they don't live in your house, I want you to post that on your refrigerator with a magnet. If they do live in your house and you want to keep it private, I want you to post it on a bathroom mirror where every day, now listen, when you go to the refrigerator, you say, Heavenly Father, I claim, and you read that verse and read their names. Then, every time you see it, look, if I've ever been serious about something, about giving you a word that I know God will honor at some point, it's what I'm telling you. I want you, every time you see it, don't ignore it one day. It may take 2 to 3 minutes to do it, but with faith, confess the verse and say, God, I'm asking you to send an angel to chase him. Now, the most prime example I can give you comes from Norval Hayes, who was a friend of mine from Cleveland, Tennessee. Norval Hayes had a daughter that was rebellious, very rebellious against him. So Norval is trying to follow the Lord and do the work of God. And the enemy would come to Norval and say, you're winning people to the Lord and your own daughter won't listen to you. She don't want to hear a thing you've got to say. You're going to win people and she's going to die lost. And the enemy would say that, but Norval was a great faith man. He would say, it's not going to happen. And he claimed the verse, I ask an angel of God to chase her. I ask the angel of God to get her. I ask the angel of God. And he prayed it for a long time. Now, the story told me by his daughter and by people that were friends of the family was this, that one night, and his daughter was kind of a wild person, partying, doing all kinds of things. She wasn't interested in serving God. That's the fact. So one day she came in and she goes to her bedroom, comes in real late, and she starts screaming. And so she runs to her dad and they meet. What is it, hon? What is it? What's wrong? She said, Daddy. He's in the room. Well, at first he's thinking a man has come in the room. And she said, who's in the room? She said, he's big. He looks like he's 7 feet tall. It's an angel of God, Daddy. He's in the room. I saw him. I saw him. And Norval, being Norval, if you ever knew Norval Hayes, Norval said, bless God, it's about time he showed up. And he, of course, by the time they got in the room, he's not there. And she's sitting there crying. And that was the event that really opened up her eyes to the power of God and the truth of the gospel and the truth of the word. And so she actually saw the angel of the Lord. And I guarantee you something. I guarantee if you've got a boy or a girl or even grandbabies and they're just the wild child, you know, everybody in the family usually has a wild child somewhere. If they ever saw an angel of God, I will guarantee you it would be enough to stir them, to cause them to turn to God. So they may never see the angel, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to pray to the Lord. And I want you to ask him, do exactly what I said, the verse at the top and their names, and post it. Don't just write it down. If you work at a desk at the office, put it somewhere. You can do it on a note card even. But do that, and every day you pray it. And I want you, when those kids get saved, because I feel the anointing of God telling you it's going to happen. When those kids get saved, you contact my office by an email, and you tell me it happened. And at some point, I want to share a couple testimonies because they're coming to the Lord. You have a covenant, and part of that covenant is a covenant of salvation. You shall be saved and your house, according to the book of Acts. And I claim that for you and your family. What a great teaching. I got more coming up. Watch this. You need this. It's going to help you when in your prayer life as well.
It's time to learn what you don't know about your future. Now available is Perry Stone's new landmark prophetic book, Your Journey into Eternity, Life for the Next 1,000 Years. Discover what occurs the moment your inner eyes are opened at death and your spirit returns to God. Journey through the 3 levels of heaven, including paradise, where Christian martyrs rest. Learn about the new body you will receive at Christ's return or at the resurrection, and why the dead at times appear in dreams, and what memories you have after death. Learn about the marriage supper in heaven from a Hebraic perspective, and what the Bible teaches about the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem coming down. Perry unlocks the mystery of babies in heaven, including miscarried and aborted infants. Perry also explains what our 1,000-year reign with Christ will look like on earth. Read Perry's parabolic revelation about, what if God said yes to the dead? Will your family circle be unbroken in eternity? Perry presents often untaught insights using his 46 years of in-depth biblical research from the Old and New Testaments. The book includes incredible Greek and Hebrew word studies, as well as amazing stories that reveal secrets of life after death, events in heaven, and life on the new earth. Perry is also including an audio teaching, The Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, that his friends say is the most interesting biblical teaching from the book of Revelation he has ever taught. In this teaching, Perry shares secrets in heaven's temple, the most important building in heaven, where all human records and tribulation judgment files are kept. It is here where you will stand at the judgment seat before Christ's throne and give a face-to-face account of what the angels have written about you, from birth to death, including all your idle words and how you treated others. This is a teaching that will alert you to what you say and cause you to guard your words and actions. The landmark new book and 2-hour audio teaching is available for your gift of just $35 or more to help keep Manifest on the air around the world. To order this offer, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You can also order by sending $35 to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer ET143 when ordering. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Well, hope you enjoyed the program. As you can see, this is a new offer, and I want to say something. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. In my opinion, the book and the CD content I've been preaching 46 years is so new and so revelatory and so fresh. It is probably my favorite offer in 3 years. Please get the book and the audio CD. I'm telling you, the audio CD is a spiritual life changer to bump you into a whole nother level of understanding. So please take advantage of that. I've only got a little time left to share with you where I'm going to be coming to. Okay, in the month of May, the 6th and 7th, a Saturday and Sunday, Danville Church of God in Danville, Kentucky. That's my first time being in the area there. Join me there. May 17th, Wednesday night only, one of my favorite places in all the world, Family Christian Center, Munster, Indiana. Now, all you folks, come and be with me. We're going to have a word and going to have a camp meeting service. Then I'm coming to the Bahamas, beginning the 22nd of June, Faith Walk Church of God in Coopertown, Abaco, Bahamas. And there's a convention there, and I'm going to be preaching there for several nights. And then we're coming on the 27th and the 28th to Freeport, Bahamas, to the Assemblies of God, Bahamas and Turks and Caicos. I hope I said that right. Islands for the 65th by anyway, 65th year anniversary. And so we're going to be preaching there. So all you folks in the listen, you Bahama folks always tell me, "Oh, Brother Petty, we love you. Come here. Now you need to come see me. I'm coming down there in Jesus' name." And I can't wait to do this, the Crow Nation annual camp meeting. We did a great Navajo camp meeting last year, but we're going to be in Montana, the Crow Nation's annual camp meeting on July 7th, 8th, and 9th. And Pastor Dwayne Burdingground, please, all of you in the area that are part of the wonderful tribes, please come and join us for this great camp meeting in July. And of course, I'm coming in July to World Prayer Center, and I'm coming back to Alaska to Trinity Chapel and King's Chapel and Huntsville and Huntington. I have about three or four churches every year I go to because I love the pastor, the family, and I love the churches. I love all the churches we go to. That's the truth. But thank you. Here's what you need to go to peristone.org to get our schedule, and also go to Peristone Ministries. You have to put it that way, Facebook page, only one Peristone Ministries Facebook page, and it'll have the blue check mark on it. Also, the YouTube channel has a lot of videos from Israel, a lot of new teaching, and Manifest, be sure and watch it on your local stations. Support your local stations, Christian stations, especially the ERA program we're so appreciative of. And also, let me just mention to you that there's a lot of great talk about the main event coming up in October. I'll be telling you more about that, but you can go to our website to go ahead and register, because a lot of you register in advance. Thank you for your time. Don't forget to get that offer one way or the other. Get that into your hands. God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.